Hello.
Welcome back, everybody.
You're listening to
Too Niche. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Lara. Today we are hauling the musical catalog of one of my favorite recording artists. I would say a poet, a singer-songwriter, one of the most important creative voices of the 21st century, the one and only Lana Del Rey.
Not to be all Cambridge Analytica, but one thing that Spotify data tells us is that the majority of our listeners agree with you on Lana being their number one fave. So
this is a Lana Hive podcast.
Yes.
We are LDR stans, as I guess the fans call themselves. And I'm proud to stand in my stand-um of Lana.
And I'm excited. I'm a Lana music fan, but I haven't really done a proper tour of her catalog, so I feel like today will be an education, and I'm looking forward to it.
Same. Do you want to tell us a little bit of Lana Del Rey history for
sure,
the newbies that might not be in the know?
So Lana Del Rey's real name is Elizabeth Woolridge Grant. She chose her stage name by combining the name of Hollywood actress Lana Turner with the Ford Del Rey car.
I love
that. Del Rey was born in New York City and raised in Lake Placid, which is a small town in upstate New York. She began writing songs at the age of 18 and was originally signed to a small record label called Five Points Records. In 2011, Del Rey released the song Video Games, which became a viral sensation and helped her career. Her music is often described as Hollywood sadcore and draws heavily from vintage Americana and 1960s pop culture.
I remember who first texted me the Video Games video, because wasn't that Paz de la Huerta stumbling outside of Chateau?
I think so.
It was an iconic moment. I'm always... have been and will be a Paz de la Huerta super fan. So that just made quite the impression. And I feel like I also had not heard a sound like that outside of just like older, like classic, like even pre-classic rock. It was like such a throwback kind of feel that it was like, who is this and what is this person all about?
What was your first song that grabbed you?
I would say Video Games was the first song that grabbed me. And like, I also liked Born to Die. I also liked Blue Jeans. Like, I just thought, wow, this is so romantic, but also there's a sense of dread and like unsafety underneath, kind of like teetering on the edge a little bit.
Sadcore.
I liked the persona of Lana Del Rey, and the aesthetic really spoke to me. It's kind of that like Priscilla Presley, but make it modern. And I just liked how like doomed she felt for such a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her own perpetuating this like doom lore around herself was very cool to me.
And the wingtip eyeliner.
And the wingtips were fab. The hair was fab.
Yeah.
It was like all really working.
So what's our first song to haul?
So I think we'll just haul Born to Die first, because that would be like the first song off of her first album.
Don't fail me now. Take tell you your mind is like I told you, honey. Don't make me sad, don't make me cry. Sometimes life is not enough and the road gets tough. I don't know why. Keep making me laugh, let's go get high. The road is long, we carry on. Try to have fun.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot. Really? If this was the first single?
This, I think, was the first song off of Born to Die, okay, the album. But like, because I feel like Video Games and Blue Jeans came out as like singles around that time and there were videos for them. And then the album came out and Born to Die was the first song. So like, just from a listener's perspective, it's like, I'm already sucked in. I'm aware, like, your lore is making a lot of sense to me, and I respond to doom and gloom, and this is really doing it for me.
It's
and, like,
great.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, it's a vibe. I love that it you could hold this song to her current work, and it is in the same family. I give it an A.
Yeah, I give it an A as well. Let's get a little bit of Video Games, because okay, this is a song that I will, when I'm in a Lana headspace, I eventually put this song in rotation too, because I do think it's like a very beautiful kind of love song. I have chills already.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Swinging in the backyard, pull up in your fast car, whistling my name. Open up a beer and you say get over here and play a video game. I'm in his favorite sundress, watching me get undressed, take a body downtown. I say you the bestest, leaning for a big kiss, put his favorite perfume on, go play a video game. It's you, it's you, it's all for you, everything I do, tell you all the time. Heaven is a place on earth with you, tell me all the things you wanna do. I heard that you like the bad girls, honey. Is that true? It's better than I ever even knew. They say that the world was built for two. Only worth living if somebody is loving you. Baby, now you do.
Stunning, A plus. Again, I have full body chills. I'm like skyrocketing off the face of the planet.
It's dreamy. It's melancholic. It's really, it's so beautiful. I love that song. That was the first Lana song that I ever got into. Some interesting facts. This one was released October 7th, 2011 as the lead single from Born to Die. And it was inspired by the video game culture and the concept of gamer girls, which Lana wanted to write a song that celebrated women who play video games and don't conform to traditional gender roles.
I love that. Always doing something a little bit different, kind of swerving right when people are going left. And I think that's kind of something that she's done her entire career and that might has served her at times and maybe not served her at other times, but as a fan, it always serves me. And
yep,
I appreciate that in an artist when
me
they swing really
too
big. And this has like the this isn't as sad of a song as it is like capturing that kind of like the newness of a relationship, or like the first meeting, or like early stages of relationship, it feels like. Yeah. Let's do National Anthem, another one from Born to Die, which just made me like, I just remember, I thought the song was really catchy, and I liked that she was basically putting herself up from the jump as being like iconic as like the national anthem, or as like an American flag. Mm-hmm. I like a little bit of this hip hop thing that she did. I had not heard that so much before. And I think when I first heard it back in the day, it felt cringe to me. But now I've come to really love that part of her music, because a lot of it is infused with hip hop. And I'm in.
So interestingly, this song has her taking on the persona of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis and the man playing the role of John F. Kennedy. Some interpret this as commentary on the role of money and power in American society.
She explores that a lot.
We love.
Mm-hmm. And in like her later career, I think, and even actually like in the next album, gets really explicit about like how she's used that to her advantage, mm-hmm. and like what that means and how to use that as like an artist and get ahead. So I love another A for me.
Another A.
Then Born to Die was released as like the Paradise Edition, which had more songs on it. So
as all great artists do.
Mm-hmm. Because it was like a big deal when this album came out, like people were losing their shit. I like this song, Dark Paradise, because I feel like it's very like moody, foreboding, like jungle vibes.
I have not heard this one.
Friends tell me I should move on. I'm lying in the ocean singing your song. That's how you sang it. Loving you forever can't be wrong. Even though you're not here, won't move on. Played it, and there's no remedy for memory of face.
that's really a song that gets played a lot in workout classes. I think maybe as like a stretching song, or there's a remix of it too that's a little bit faster. And out of all the workoutification of Lana Del Rey songs, I appreciate that one. Normally I don't appreciate.
Do you want to know a fun fact about the song?
Yeah.
It was originally titled Puppy Love, but she went with Dark Paradise.
I love
it too. I think I'm ready to clearly be revisiting this album in like a real
This is about deep way. To set you off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the great thing is when you get into one album, there's so many more to like add to the haul. And then you just get in like a Lana headspace. And yeah. It's really good.
I think we're entering a Lana headspace zone as a collective niche society. Buckling up.
So I give this one a B plus.
I give it a B.
On second listen, it is like a little more overdone than I like.
It's the only one to me that feels 2011.
Mm-hmm. This next one is like peak 2011, 2012 and onwards.
Okay.
And is one of the songs that I don't think I've ever responded like positively to this next song. And then it now is in constant rotation in a workout class too. This one I had on the list because it's like, I feel like it got so much radio play, and then you introduced the remix to it. Okay. So let's haul the remix.
Okay,
of it.
Yeah. I have a few contributions to this haul, and this is the first one.
Summertime Sadness, the remix.
I got my red dress on tonight, dancing in the dark in the pale moonlight. Throw my hair up real big, beauty queen style, high heels off.
This is spin class.
I was just gonna say, it's giving Soul Cycle sexy corners.
That's like the 30-second sprint.
Yep.
In spin.
It's perfect.
I've heard this song, I think, having lived in LA through the genesis up until now of Lana's career, no less than 500 times.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, it's a mainstay, as you said, at any workout place, but also you're getting it like 1 p.m. at the Abbey for sure.
Uh-huh.
On a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just, it speaks to a time.
Yeah, and I'm not mad at it, but I would never listen to this like by choice. It's a song that's foisted upon me.
Yeah.
And I accept it. Mm-hmm. And I do love Summertime Sadness just as an idea, because I definitely experience summertime sadness.
I understand summertime sadness deeply, but also I think when it's paralleled with a dance club beat, there's something that's just really heady about it.
Transforms you.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a B minus just because I'm summertime oversaturated with summertime sadness.
I'm going to give it a B plus because it evokes memory of a time and a place and like a dedication to the stationary bike that I once had.
Mm-hmm. I'll never be mad at it in a spin class because it does make me want to work harder.
Yeah.
Okay, next up is Ride, which really changed a lot of things for me because the music video was so good. And I just remember, like, I was just like, wow, this woman is really, like, cool for this.
Yeah.
I think she was, like, with, like, a lot of, like, biker dudes, and it was, like, on the back of motorcycles, like, hanging out with Hell's Angels, and then in the bridge, like, she has this moment where she's like, I'm tired of feeling like I'm fucking crazy. And I was just like, oh my God, I have chills even saying that right now.
song, Daddy, why gone? Singing blues has been getting old. You can be my full-time baby, hot or cold. Don't break me down. Traveling too long. I've been trying too hard with one pretty song. I hear the birds on the summer breeze. I drive fast. I am alone in midnight. Been trying hard not to get into trouble.
I love it.
I don't really love this one.
No.
Mm-mm.
It might take a few listens.
And I'm cognizant of that. And I also don't want any LDRs. You don't want any
LDR stands to come at
I'm
you.
I'm scared a little.
Be kind.
The LDR hive.
I get nervous because I don't know everything there is to know about Lana. And there are definitely some albums that I've listened to way more than other ones. But something I like in this, and I think that she does well, is like creating a tension and then like a release mm-hmm. in the chorus, and this does that really well, and that's what I like about
it. I don't know what grade to give it. Maybe just it's like a first listen C, but open to that evolving into an upper level grade.
I'm having chills and I'm giving it an A.
Okay.
I would watch the video too.
Yeah, I remember the video. It's with like in the desert and
desert motorcycles. She did a lot of stuff with like older, was like a lot of older men. You can be my daddy and like
Americana.
Yeah.
Zaddy stuff.
Kind of like helpless, like young ingenue, which I think is a role that she's played really well. And like a idea that she's explored. And I love her just like owning that mm-hmm. as like this, like a stereotype or like an iconography.
Yeah.
There's something about that that's like very alluring.
I appreciate like the depth to everything she does. Like it feels extremely intentional and there's like a strong POV, and I love both of those things.
Yeah. And she's really saying something. And I feel like a lot of times pop stars write songs and they're like saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And she always has a lot to say. And she's like kind of spilling tea at the same time, like this next song.
Ooh.
My pussy tastes like Pepsi Cola. Taste for men who
I like coming in hot with a pussy tasting like Pepsi Cola.
Yeah, that's an important line.
The Harveys in the sky with diamonds, reference to Harvey
Weinstein.
That then I think she was supposed to take it out, or maybe she did in one version of the song. I'm glad that it's still there.
Yeah.
I personally don't think that artists should have to take out things in their song just because people are offended by them.
Oppressed by it. It had like a very subtle undertone of Madonna Bedtime Stories era.
Mm.
I was getting a little Baby's Got a Secret.
Oh, yeah. It does have that.
Yeah.
Like in the beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I like this, like, other woman, like, wild other woman, like, unstable. I'm, like, fucking older guys with husbands.
Yeah.
It's a little Raquel.
Storytelling at its finest.
Mm-hmm. It's great to give it another A.
A.
So then we get into Ultraviolence, which is her sophomore album, which changed me on a molecular level. I was, like, obsessed with this album. But I kind of came to it, I think, later, like after it had been out for a while, because I think I got a little oversaturated with like Lana lore, and Summertime Sadness was really an inescapable song that soured me a little bit. But then I came back into the fold and got really into this album. I love this next song, Shades of Cool.
Music is making me want to like put on a nightgown and like open all my windows and smoke a joint and like
same
with the sun shining on my face.
Yeah,
and like
I just want to
lay contemplation.
I want to lay and be like wistful.
Yeah,
which is a dangerous space for me because I'm always ready to lay and be wistful, but Lana puts me right there, and then you just like remember relationships mm-hmm. and stuff, and she's. I think that's the sign of a really strong artist.
Transportive.
She's transporting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this has like a really cool guitar solo, like at the bridge that gets like kind of hardcore. So I love the juxtaposition of like dreamy melody versus like this like hardcore, almost like ugly moment that's like love kind of.
Truth.
A minus.
I'm going to go B plus on this one just to switch it up.
Okay. Love that. Yeah, I was I'm encountering a hard time.
It's okay to be A's across the board if you love something.
I'm very A's across the board.
You're the Lana historian here taking us on this journey. I assume you wouldn't pull non-A's.
There's so many to choose from that it's hard to like. Also, I'm like, why would I when you were hauling something you really love, why would you want to haul the really bad stuff?
Of course. Makes sense to me. It's just logic.
Yeah. So this next song is probably one of my most listened to songs of all of my like Spotify, all time Spotify.
I always find that data so fascinating for all of us that we are able to track.
Yeah. I love knowing that about myself, but I also am like, do you ever get songs where you have to listen to them like 40 times in a row before you can like let them go?
Yeah.
This was one of those for me.
They say I'm too young to love you. I don't know what I need. They think I don't understand the freedom land of the 70s. I think I'm too cool to know ya. You say I'm like the ice I freeze. I'm churning out novels like beat poetry on amphetamines. I say, I say, well, my boyfriend's in a band. He plays guitar while I sing.
Understand your multi-playability with that one.
The range of her voice.
Yeah.
The painting the picture of this character. It's also like, it's just such a good song. The musicality of it.
It sounds like a cousin to Summertime Sadness.
Yeah. I think a lot of her songs are structured progressions in the same way.
Yeah.
But like, there's something about this too where I've listened to it so many times that I've been on like such a journey with it where it's like, I love that she's posing as this character that's like kind of the worst girl that you could possibly encounter, where you're like, oh, this person's cringe a little bit, or like it's like that typical like feathers in my hair, like I'm a cool girl, blah blah blah. But then you're like, of course, the cool girl with the feathers in her hair thinks she's amazing and like is living this life where she is like too cool for this like loser guy that she's with. And she's actually the one that's like cooler than her boyfriend. And like by the end of it, I think even I forget who the man was that sang, but it might have been her boyfriend at the time. And it's like, my boyfriend's pretty cool, but he's not as cool as me. And I was just like, I love that perspective. And that's such like a particular like female perspective to have. Because when you do think you're really cool, nothing can take you out. And you will wear the flowers and you will be like, I have the best taste.
And statistically speaking, most women are cooler than their guy.
Truth. A plus.
I'm really trying to like not marry myself to a first impression.
Mm-hmm.
But I did love it. So A.
It's really
good. Sorry,
it's
great.
Yeah.
But like, I will say, when we did our Vanderpump Rules singles haul, there was one song that I don't think I graded highly, but then came back around for me. And I was like, this song's a bop. And it was James Kennedy, Just Took Two. And I was like, it's actually so good.
It's really good. Yeah. And that so that's
just the on the spot grading system at times can hinder versus be helpful.
Yeah.
I'm just acknowledging that as we move forward.
I love that. I also love Lana's fascination with California. I think I relate as like growing up in Oklahoma, which could not be more different like mm-hmm. than a California vibe. Like that speaks to me,
me
a lot.
Me too.
And
yeah.
The romanticization.
I always had that too. I was actually born here in LA, but then moved. My parents were like, we're not raising a child here. So they moved back to Detroit, which is where I grew up. So I always had that like romance, and we would come here to visit their friends. So I always had this romantic, dreamy feeling about California as well.
Yeah.
This and one, then I moved here and I haven't left.
That really, it'll go away after a while.
And that dissipates year 10, I would say.
Yeah, you'll reach a challenge point where you're like, oh, I actually like hate it here,
and
but now
then you'll hit a global pandemic and then you really got to test your relationship with the city.
Yeah,
because one thing I learned is a big city really loses its panache. Oof. During a pandemic.
I'm only just now feeling like, hey, I survived. I stuck around. I
Same.
Lived through hell and I'm still here to tell the tale. And I do kind of feel proud of that now.
I do too.
But
it's an accomplishment.
Taken a long time to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still like really wary. I'm always like, what's next? Earthquake.
I literally was like, I shouldn't say it. Well, we said it.
It's better to just know. And now we said it.
A plus. I love that song. And it reminds me of one of my all-time faves, Tori Amos.
You know, I never got into I need to
really take you on a cornflake girl journey.
Mm-hmm. I need to revisit.
So good.
Like I need a full Lilith Fair moment.
Yeah, I was highly, highly emo as a youth. Like I would like have my Ani DiFranco and my Indigo Girls and my Tori Amos and like be up in my room lighting candles and journaling and like casting goddess spells.
Love.
So
you were really the craft.
trying something.
Yeah, that's an A for me.
So good, so beautiful.
I like this one because it's just like, it's sad girl.
Like you.
love it. I want to be her.
I love an introspective queen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're getting.
I love a ballad.
Yeah.
Like a bluesy, mournful ballad, yeah, bemoaning how sad and fucked up you are because of your own life choices.
It's another A.
Yeah, A for sure. Okay, here's a good one.
Well, what was that one called?
That was called Sad Girl.
Oh. There we go. Sure.
Also has another great bridge to it. But we're going to listen to Money, Power, Glory.
Okay.
Far away. How are we supposed to get there with the way that we're living today? You talk lots about God. Freedom comes from the call, but that's not what this bitch wants. Not what I want at all. I want
loved it.
Love it. A plus.
A.
I like to, she said that she wrote this as like she was feeling really frustrated at the time, feeling like she wasn't, it would be like only allowed to have like money and power through being like infamous. And then it was like kind of a sarcastic response to feeling like that. Like not meant to be interpreted literally, but just being like, I don't know. But it also is like, who doesn't want that?
This girl's deep.
She's deep. And I like that it's like, she's deep, but then also kind of basic at the same time. And I think that it is really nice when someone can just be like, it's like, you don't have to necessarily be like, done up or look a certain way 24/7 and be giving off this like pop star persona all the time in order to have your most innermost thoughts and feelings matter. And that's what's cool about her.
And this could just be me just like not being in the LDR universe, but I feel like she's done a really good job of letting the music speak for itself and not really taking the infamy route, but more so as in like playing the tabloids and all of that. I think there's a mystery about it, which keeps, I think, the music more exciting to me.
Yeah, it's like, and I guess basic is not even, it's not the right term, but like normal girl. Because I do think women are just tapped into like a different frequency and of like creativity, and to like you can do something that like resonates so hard and like captures the feeling of being a woman, but you don't have to be like perfect hair, makeup, outfit,
Carl's Jr. burger ads.
Yeah, you don't have to, and you can just be like a normal woman and have these thoughts and feelings pouring mm-hmm. out of you and be able to accomplish something really meaningful without also having to sell like an unachievable like image.
An artiste.
Mm-hmm. Here's one I love too. Fucked My Way Up to the Top.
Life is awesome, I confess. What I do best. You got nothing, I got tested, and I'm best, yes. Lay me down tonight.
I like being on the nose, like addressing haters in this way of like accusing you of doing something, and then you just like lean into it and kind of make like a satire out of it in a way.
Turned into a bop.
Yeah. And maybe you did fuck your way to the top. Congratulations. That's hard to do too.
Takes work.
Yeah.
I'll give it a B+. I liked the lyrics. The melody felt a little similar to others.
Fair. Okay, I was gonna do The Other Woman, but I feel like in the spirit of moving things forward with the haul, we should skip over that. But that's a great song about being like...
And it will be on the playlist that coincides with this episode that you can find in our show notes.
Love it. Okay, so we're gonna move on to Honeymoon, which honestly, this is my bad, the next two albums I'm not super well versed in. So I only have like a couple songs from Honeymoon and one from Lust for Life. But while I was doing this haul, it also showed me that I really need to go back and re-engage with those albums.
And
get
a
to
good
know them
haul
better.
Will show you things where you need not... to go.
Mm-hmm. So this is High by the Beach, which the music video for this is so good. It's like Lana is in like a Malibu mansion and she is like kind of being chased or someone's after her like a helicopter, and she goes in a Malibu mansion, gets a bazooka and shoots the helicopter down into the ocean, and it was just really amazing and formative.
High concept.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, yeah,
been there.
Mm-hmm. Love it. A.
Okay,
here's Honeymoon from Honeymoon.
We make the rules.
Was haunting, but in a good way.
Yeah, it's like so cinematic, and I love the opening strings. And I think this and the next album, Lust for Life, were both kind of like very narcotic vibes that are speaking to me now. Post drug haul, I'm ready for like an auditory heroin in the form of the album's Honeymoon and right. Lust for Life.
I give that one a B.
Yeah, I give it a B plus. I want to, like, now I'm sucked in. I'm literally ready to read every interview that Lana's ever given and, like, rewatch all the music videos. I have big plans ahead. But speaking of heroin, this is the song Heroin from the next album, Lust for Life. Sad song about an ex of hers who overdosed and died in 2011. Drugs are romantic.
They're moody
and they're tragic, and I like processing, I guess, like a deep grief with something that like romanticizes the entanglement in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like lore of drugs being like wistful and cool, even though they're really not.
That's right.
I'm into it.
I give it a B.
Give it an A. I didn't realize that Lana Del Rey had a song on the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark movie soundtrack. And then I discovered that on this haul that she did a version of Season of the Witch that was part of that movie.
Oh, missed so out.
We can listen to a little snippet.
Yeah,
of that,
we must.
That's one of my favorite Donovan songs, like of all time.
I know nothing.
You would know this song okay. if you heard it. Let me play you the original. Do you know this song? Wow. I like to turn. I'm liking turning you on.
I'm
to
like a
song.
New tiny baby.
You are like a tiny baby. So many different people to be.
that it's strange.
No, but I like this song.
Yeah.
It's a vibe.
It's been used in a lot of like movies. I feel like you even more and more there must be some like licensing thing with it where it's allowed to be used a lot. Very classic, like 60s psychedelia.
Into.
Mm-hmm.
When I look out my window, many sights to see. And when I look in my window, so many different people to be. They're strange, so strange. It's very strange to me.
You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. Oh no.
Love.
I'm gonna say this is not my favorite cover.
Okay.
I love her singing this, but I'm like, how did this come to be? And how did I not know about this until this very day?
I'd add to favorites.
Okay, love that. Because I'm gonna skip to another cover, which I think is one of the most brilliant covers of all time.
Okay.
Which was both You and Me.
We both had this
both
one.
Threw oh, this yeah. On the
okay,
hall.
I know what this one is.
Yeah.
This is major.
Mm-hmm.
Summertime, and the living's easy. Rallies on the microphone with Ross and G. All the people in the dance will agree that we're well qualified to represent the LBC. Me and Louis, we gonna run to the party and dance to the rhythm, it gets harder. Me and my girl, we got this relationship. I love her so bad, but she treats me like shit. On lockdown like a penitentiary. She spreads her love and all the people in the dance will agree that we're well qualified to represent the LBC.
A++++. So good.
I was such a Sublime head.
Same.
In high school. And like,
it's like a really seminal album, I think, for our generation.
Yeah, it was important. And then to have her doing this, like, ties it all together. And it's just like a great, great cover.
Yeah.
And I love that she didn't change any of the lyrics.
Me too.
And the music video is also an A+. She's like a giant. Like a giant woman walking around LA, and like, I just love like a giant.
I have to do a video anthology next.
I know, the videos are really good. So this is Norman fucking Rockwell, which was like one of the best reviewed albums of 2019, I believe, was nominated for like Album of the Year, Grammy, like got, I think, is it the most like critically successful album that she's had?
I love the title.
Love the title. And I think that I want to say it's Jack Nicholson's grandson that's on the album cover with her.
So this album was produced by Lana and by Jack Antonoff, who he's a real major player for this gen when it comes to music from the girlies.
Mm-hmm. And a frequent collaborator of hers. And while I've never been a huge Jack Antonoff fan, I give him a pass because Lana likes him so much.
I saw him. What was the band he was in?
Bleachers.
The Bleachers. I saw them perform at Lollapalooza years ago and they were good. I had fun.
It seems fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate Jack stays booked and I tip my hat to that always.
He stays working and I love, like, on her most recent album, she had a song called Margaret that is like about Margaret Qualley and Jack Antonoff's relationship. So I was like, that's very cool.
Deep fact.
Imagine being Margaret Qualley and imagine being like a young, beautiful, successful woman and then having Lana Del Rey write a song about you.
And wearing Chanel.
Yeah. Okay, let's listen to Norman fucking Rockwell, the song.
Goddamn man child, you fucked me so good that I almost said I love you. You're fine and you're wild, but you don't know the half of the shit that you put me through. Your poetry's bad and you blame the news. Change that, and I can't change your mood. Ooh. 'Cause you're just a man, it's just what you do. Get in your hands as you color me blue. Yeah, you're just a man, all through and through.
Love. Beautiful. A.
It's an A. And also, like, I feel like this album was where she kind of got more modern with, mm-hmm. like, the topics that she was talking about. And, like, I was just reading some blurbs from the reviews of it, and it was like, this is, like, a beautiful opus for a new dark age. That's what Stereo Gum said. A look back at the world we just wrecked and yoga music for the apocalypse. And I was like, she kind of knew. She was channeling.
Yeah.
This, I think, is when she started really channeling. And then she hasn't stopped since then.
Yeah, those are some on-the-nose predictions for mm-hmm. where we're headed. I do think we need to backtrack really quickly, and we don't need to play it, but just a shout-out to Young and Beautiful from the Great Gatsby soundtrack,
yeah,
which is a stunning song, and also just my keeping up historian self needs to point out that when Kanye proposed to Kim, the like 50-piece orchestra that was serenading them played that song, and then
I have chills.
For their wedding, Lana performed at the at Versailles. Was it Versailles that they went to?
She performed three songs at Kim and Kanye's 2014 wedding at the Palace of Versailles. Wow.
Which, imagine you're in 2014 and you're getting flown to Europe to perform at Versailles for Kanye and Kim.
That's like
A+.
Insane. Yeah. And while, again, like, Young and Beautiful is too mainstream for me to go with like a A plus for it, but it's another one
also
that I'm not
mad just
at.
To like dissect the lyrics on that, Will You Still Love Me When I'm Still Young and Beautiful is the most vapid when I'm no longer young and beautiful. It's just, of course, that's their favorite song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I often come back to thinking about her performing at their wedding and being like, that makes her, like, to me, if Kanye's choosing you to do something for him and Kim, that makes you iconic for life.
Totally. Well, at that era.
At that time, yeah. Yeah.
I remember seeing an interview with Kanye when he first, like, with when his first album was coming out, and he was like, well, I want to make a song that is equivalent to Fiona, or I want to make an album that is equivalent to Fiona Apple's When the Pawn album. And I was like, oh, you're operating on a whole new level. And that's when he really grabbed me musically. But
yeah,
we've since let go.
I always hold out hope for a comeback. I think that the great thing about current culture is they love to watch you rise. They love to see you fall. And they love a reemergence and rising from the
ashes.
That's
probably true. But on a personal level, I've let go.
You've let go.
Yeah. I think once you go pro-Nazi or Nazi sympathizer, I'm not able to.
Once you're in that realm of saying things like that, I definitely am like, I can't say that that causes me to totally, like, I'm not gonna totally write someone off. Like, I'm always gonna keep an eye on them because I'm like, I like drama.
Yeah.
So that's why I am always like, let's check in, because what the fuck is this person gonna say next? So, like, while I disagree with the sentiments, you really make a splash in other ways.
That's
and you,
true.
I file you in a keep an eye on this person. In my keep an eye on drawer. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I see that.
Mm-hmm. While also rooting for like a full blown resurgence and comeback, which would be
fascinating.
Would be fascinating. And I think that it's possible. And just from like a cultural observation perspective.
Yeah. I think it's more likely to happen than not.
It's just kind of the way of our society a little bit. So
watch this space.
Yeah, watch this space. It can't get much worse than it has gotten.
When you sink however much money into your self-funded political campaign to run for president, it's a real plot twist.
It's been a lot of things. Yeah. And then, but I'm like, what is this all like part of some larger
performance
vision
art?
That is, yeah. And then I'm like, or is it just like you have finally reached the point where you have too much money?
I think it's
and
reaching
too many yes men.
I think it's that, and then I think it's like plot lost.
So you got to stay low key, like Lana.
That's what I'm saying.
And write poetry and just like keep it.
There's
real.
An art to just not letting us know too much about the BTS.
Minding your own business and having a lot of like adventures, and I like that she's not someone that overshares. Like maintaining that air of mystery, but also just being like cool goals.
But she does communicate directly with her fans in a way. Like, she nurtures
I follow the Honeymoon account. She has an account on Instagram called Honeymoon that, like, she'll open up for a while and then close it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I follow that. And she posts, like, updates there, like, little things here and there. But I think also people want to misinterpret a lot of what she says and, like, give her a hard time. So to those people, I say, fuck off.
Well, that's just
that's every
that's living your life.
Okay, let's listen to Mariner's Apartment Complex.
You took my sadness out of context at the Mariner's apartment complex. I ain't no candle in the wind. I'm the board, the lightning, the thunder, the kind of girl who's gonna make you wonder who you are and who you've been. And who I've been is with you on these beaches. Your Venice bitch, your diehard, your weakness. Maybe I could save you from your sins. So kiss the sky and whisper to Jesus, my, my, my. You found this, you need this. Take a deep breath, baby, let me in. You lose your way, just take my hand. You're lost at sea, then I'll command your boat to me again. Don't look too far, right where you are, that's where.
Love.
Love okay. It.
The opening bars remind me of Madonna.
You're getting a lot of Madonna.
I'm getting a lot of Madonna in the instrumentals and obviously not in the vocals.
Mm-hmm. I don't know Madonna's catalog well enough.
Maybe
I'm
that's
not
a haul
as much
one
of a
day.
Head as you are. I think that would be a really good haul.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like it. And I like, it feels like she's more empowered in these later albums, and I like that.
Yeah.
Too, like, I wonder how much of this, the persona of like helpless, like glamorous helpless girl, was like, I think that was absolutely engineered by her, but also I wonder how much of it was pushed more by like a studio being like, this is the perspective, like this is how,
because
right. You know, pop stars, it's like you want to paint them into a specific corner where you're like, this woman does this and this person does this and this one does this. And so I like charting an evolution.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Cinnamon Girl.
Cinnamon in my teeth from your kiss. You're touching me, all the pills that you take, violet, blue, green, red, to keep me at arm's length don't work. You try to push me out, but I just find my way back in. Violet, blue, green, red, to keep me out, I win. There's things I wanna say to you, but I'll just let you live. Like if you owe me without hurting me, you'll be the first to ever do. There's things I wanna talk about, but better not to give. But if you owe me without hurting me, you'll be the first to ever do.
Love.
Obsessed.
Beautiful.
This album is like insane.
I think I hate to say it, I think it's the Jack of it all.
It might be the Jack.
He's kind of like a hit maker.
He is, and like channels it in a good way.
Yeah.
Their collab. But I also love Ultraviolence, and that's what I think the producer on that was Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys, and that has that like dread, like gloom, bluesy feel.
Yep.
So that really worked for me too. But this does feel, it's like that Jack Antonoff positivity that when you funnel some of that into the mix, you can sing really dark, but it also feels good instead of like you're in a wistful stare
yep.
space. This is like driving. I want to like drive.
It's vibing. It's driving.
Yeah. Let's listen to Bartender.
All the ladies of the canyon wearing black to their house parties. Crosby, Stills, and Nash's play. One is flowing with Bacardi. But sometimes girls just want to have fun. The poetry inside of me is warm like a gun. I bought me a truck in the middle of the night. It'll buy me a year if I play my cards right. Photo-free exits from baby's bedside, 'cause they don't yet know what car I drive. I'm just trying to keep my love alive with my bartender.
Love.
That one's from Norman fucking Rockwell.
We just have to give a mini haul to the titles of themselves of the albums, which are so good.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of has always made me love Lana without being deeply attuned to her catalog, because I'm just like, oh, I respect you so much as an artist because you're titling things perfectly, and I'm a title queen.
Yeah, I love a title, and I love just like doing things your own way. And I just like love like a sense of darkness, or as I said, the doom and gloom,
the sad core.
Even in this album, there was a song where it's at the end, she's like, Kanye West is gone, like talks about like the state of the world, and I was like, this is like a psychic person who like knows. She just knows. Okay, let's move on to White Dress, because this was a radical song on Chemtrails to me. This is where she goes falsetto at some points. Introspective, reflective queen.
I love that one.
Yeah.
And I'm into the falsetto. I was a little nervous.
No, it was a kind of off-putting at first. I was like, ugh, but then she just sucks you in and then you're right there with
her.
She's
emoting and it's like she has to be in that head voice mm-hmm. to do so.
And like talking about this like younger version of herself. And I think that's also just important to have respect for mm-hmm. your younger self, or ready to look back on it. And just like honor it for what it was, not necessarily judging it as like good or bad.
I love that assessment.
Let's listen to, there's still so many songs to haul. I feel like we're going to have to cut this haul way down because we're already an hour and a half in.
Well, it is a haul. Sometimes hauls are long, guys.
Let's listen to Wild at Heart because that's another good Chemtrails song.
What would you do if I told you you made me crazy to see your pretty pics on Sunset Boulevard, and it makes me lazy, so I smoke cigarettes just to understand the smog. I love you lots like polka dots. You're killing me more than coffee pots and instant thoughts with every drop I pour. And if I had to do it all again, I would, because baby, in the end, it brought me here to you. I left Calabasas, escaped all the ashes, ran into the dark, and it made me wild, wild, wild at heart. The cameras had flashes, they caused the car crashes, but I'm not a star. If you love me, you love me, 'cause I'm wild, wild at heart. If they love me, they'll love me, 'cause I'm wild, wild at heart. What would you do?
I just love that.
I love that song. It reminds me of like Patsy Cline mm-hmm. or something. Like, it's just vintage sounding in all the right ways.
Yeah, I love it too. That's an A.
A.
Okay, wait. I feel like let's move on.
Okay.
For the sake of time. We're going to get into Blue Bannister's era, okay. which was Lana's COVID album, not with Jack Antonoff.
Okay.
She was back to being kind of like a depressive queen. She was also dating a guy from Oklahoma. I think that this, was this the cop that she dated?
Yeah, the Oklahoma guy was the cop.
She was in her dating a cop era.
Her normie era.
Her driving trucks through Oklahoma era, which... As an How'd Oklahoman, it really spoke to me, and I was glad that she got to get a little taste of the heartland.
Was this the album that got stolen from her car?
That's a good question.
Because I believe that was 2021, there was a incident in Melrose Place where her car windows were smashed in, and the laptop storing her ninth studio album was taken, as well as multiple hard drives and three camcorders with 2 years worth of family footage.
So her laptop, I think it was 2022 when the laptop was stolen.
The laptop incident,
mm-hmm.
which that sounds like a targeted attack, and I don't like it one bit.
Yeah, she also had a book stolen that she was working on.
And also like Melrose Place.
I know, I hate that. Also, the book was not backed up, and she just lost 200 pages of writing.
So dark.
That's
you're
a true
like moon juice, violet gray, the row, Alfred Coffee, Staud, Nordstrom, City Nordstrom's, wherever that's called, the Nordstrom pickup.
Yeah,
it feels like a safe zone.
Losing a 200-page, not backed up book is truly like
nightmare.
Yeah, dark night of the soul. So then she asked,
Nordstrom local.
Yeah. That Nordstrom local makes me feel unsafe, but the rest of it makes me feel safer.
I love it. My favorite
thing. I do like
thing,
a pickup from there.
I love to do a pickup. If I need to get a present for somebody, I order it online, have it picked up at Nordstrom local, and they'll wrap it for you so you can like en route to the B-Day party or wherever you need to be. Just pick it up.
Okay, that's a hot tip.
Yeah.
I like the wrapping for you. So I'm thinking that that was probably a lot of the songs that were on Did You Know There's a Tunnel?
Okay.
Just because it was like the timing in 2022, like summer 2022.
Sorry, I time jumped.
No, it's okay. So Blue Bannisters was more down-tempo COVID vibes. And it's also kind of when Lana stepped out and people were commenting like on her weight. And so then she wrote this song, Black Bathing Suit, that kind of addressed it directly, which I think is a really like punk song.
Quarantine, I like you a lot. SLA on Zoom, target parking lot. And if this is the end, I want a boyfriend, someone to eat ice cream with. And watch television while I come from the mall with. Guess what I really meant is when I'm being honest, I'm tired of this shit. Cause my body is my temple and my heart is one too. The only thing that still fits me is this black bathing suit. Traditional lover, can you handle that? I guess I'm complicated, my life sorta too. I wish you could see to my soul through this black bathing suit. You don't know me any better than they do, baby. Cause I sing like an angel, it's like one, two. The only thing that fits is this black bathing suit. Looking at me.
So she is like, obviously there's like screaming in the background, but part of the lyrics are like, you're all broken, we're fucking laughing about it. And like, she's like laughing at her haters and then saying like, your interest really made stacks, and like being like, all the shit that you say about me just makes people more interested. And it's just like
truth,
real deep chills at that. And having that kind of like fuck you attitude is resonates with me hugely. And then also just tracking, because I've seen that seeded in definitely in like early Lana, but I feel like this was a time when it was like, it was a real clap back, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Love that. I think that song is very cool. Again, not to be a comparison queen, but it was giving Tori in the best way.
Mm-hmm. We need a new Lilith Fair. Can Lilith Fair come back?
I've been high key listening to the Lilith Fair soundtrack. I used to have a CD of it and I found it on Spotify, and I've been deep in.
Yeah, I need to like, I was watching the Sheryl Crow documentary, 10/10 recommend, but like it also gets into history of like Lilith Fair and stuff. And I was like, I need Lilith Fair back because I didn't appreciate it when I was young.
It would really hit today. For yeah. this era.
I think it would do bonkers.
Yeah.
So because this playlist is so extensive and this haul has lasted for quite some time, we're going to divide it up into part one and part two. And we're going to end here at Norman fucking Rockwell era. And then when we pick up on the next episode, we're going to be hauling post Norman fucking Rockwell, which gets really interesting, gets into the COVID years and beyond. So Norman fucking Rockwell is like a little primer for what's to come.
This has been a real anthology, I feel.
Anthology.
There we go. There we go. From Laura Marie Shane Halls. I am really enjoying myself. I hope the audience is too. This is very like TikTok video. Go over to the next video for
like
the next.
Like for part two. Like for part two and keep listening. This is a chill haul.
Thank you guys so much for listening. And
we'll see you on the next haul.
Bye.
Bye.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shane Halls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you loved today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.